we extend God's richest blessings to you from Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
What place does Jesus Christ have in the thinking of students on a college or university campus? We're going to talk about that today. I have an interview with my grandson who was with us about a year ago. Timothy Larson is a last semester student of his junior year at the University of Iowa. So he's had nearly 3 years on that campus and he has made some observations. I want you to know that he is a very committed Christian, loves the Lord, and loves the church. And I hope and pray that some of the things we discuss today will also be a blessing to you as you too get insights. Some of them will be very scary, but we always know that Christ is the hope. So I think you're going to find it interesting to hear a younger voice, not only talking to his grandpa, but talking to those of you who are there in the radio audience this morning. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity that we have on this Sunday morning to center our thoughts in your holy word, realizing that this is the bread of life, and only that word can sustain us that we may remain in fellowship with you. We pray, O God, that where we may be speaking to hearts that have some of these real questions that are going to be discussed today, the Holy Spirit will take this word, point us to Jesus Christ, who is our only hope, and lead us to life everlasting. Hear our prayer that we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. May I introduce to you my grandson, Timothy Larson, a junior student at the University of Iowa in the College of Business. Tim, we had you with us a little better than a year ago, and it was one of the best programs, according to our mail, that we had all year. So that's why we invite you back. We know that you have really got something to say to those of us who are listening. So I'm going to begin by asking you a question. What does a typical college student think of the church?
Based on my experiences and what I've seen, the typical college student does not go to church. And the reason, at least in my view, that the typical college student does not go to church is that he fails to find any significance for it in his life, to his life. The typical college student would view it as an empty religious exercise. He would ask the question, what difference does this make to my life? What relevance does this have? What do I get from it? And so I don't think that the typical college student sees any significance or any practical meaning whatsoever in going to church. And to me, that is a reflection not on what the church would be ideally, but what the church is. And the fact that the church, for whatever reason, is experiencing a lack of authority. A lack of authority, to me, is a function of not doing a good job preaching and teaching the truth.
Thank you, Tim. Now, on a Sunday morning, I understand you find yourself in the Parkview Evangelical Free Church in Iowa City. And you told me, and I've been delighted, in fact, so delighted that my wife and I went down and worshiped with Tim and some of his friends one morning. And there I saw hundreds of university students and many faculty. So when we talk about the typical student today, we're talking about the rank and file. There are still many who are true to the faith, as I understand it. Tell me a little bit about Parkview. Tell me about how you found your way there. Tell me what there is that causes you to go back there Sunday after Sunday, since it was not a part of the denomination you were raised in.
I think the lessons that I've learned throughout my life and continue to learn is that what sets a great church apart from a run-of-the-mill church is with what authority it treats God's word. With what authority does it communicate the truth? That's what I've found at the church I go to in Iowa City, and that's also why I decided to go there in the first place. It's an evangelical free church. I was not raised in that denomination. I was raised in the Lutheran church. But the trend in the Lutheran church is to move away from the authority of God's word, to move away from what has consistently been accepted as the truth and the gospel for 2,000 years now. Lutheran church is moving away from that typically, not treating the truth as such, not calling a spade, but watering it down and compromising. Because I was aware of that before I went off to college, I knew that I wanted no part of that and went to a church where, based on my understanding, truth was truth, and truth would be communicated that way. It would be communicated with authority, and people would leave with no doubt about the Word of God and the gospel and the role that Christ is to play in our lives. And the lesson that I've learned the last 2.5 years is that I don't think a church can ever be worth a nickel unless it's willing to treat the truth as truth and to communicate it as effectively and as unapologetically as possible.
Well, I told you, you know, that some of the things that Tim said would be rather frightening. We like to shy away from that and perhaps would defend ourselves. But I think this morning or this evening, whenever you hear this program, what we're trying to do is to listen to what these young people are saying and learn from what is being said. Now tell me, Tim, what is the primary mental obstacle for college students in regard to faith?
College students, being 18, 20, 22 years old, whatever age it may be, for many of us, it's the first time where we're getting out on our own. We're away from our parents. We're away from the people we grew up with in many cases. And so we finally have a taste of freedom and independence. We're able to make our own decisions, and we're really not accountable to anybody. So the whole theme of the college years, or at least part of the theme of the college years, is now I'm on my own, now I can make my own way. I can make my own choices. When that mentality starts to creep into your belief system, you sort of start to develop the attitude, well, what's true for me is true for me, but it isn't necessarily true for you. So I'm not going to be too dogmatic or too harsh in what I say is true. And I think that that is at least one of the major obstacles for your typical college student in regards to the church and in regards to the Christian faith, is that the Christian faith does claim to have authoritative answers on the deep questions. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where will I spend eternity? And because the Christian faith answers those questions with authority, some people shy away from that and view it as intolerant because there isn't room for the, well, what's true for me is not what's true for you mentality. That's not it at all with the Christian faith. And I think that's a barrier and an obstacle for some people to overcome.
Thank you. What difference would you say that a strong Christian body can make in the life of a college student? I've had the privilege of being on the campus, near the campus of the University of Northern Iowa. And during the years that I preached there, hundreds and hundreds of students have come to worship with us. I've always found it a challenge. Now you tell me, what difference can a strong Christian body make in the life of that student?
Based again on my experience and my impressions of myself and my peers, I think that a lot of people my age, the age of the college student, the typical college student, I think so many of us are looking for certainty. Our foundations are getting shattered. They get shattered by the things we see around us or the things we're often taught or exposed to on a college campus. And there are so many different people or groups or belief systems that claim to have the answers. And there's just so much complexity that a lot of times people just want to sit back and say, what's true? What can I really know for sure? Can I really have something that I can hang my hat on? Because if not, then I'm going to go crazy. And that, to me, is where the church can step in. College kids are wandering about, you know, asking, which way do I turn? What's true? What do I believe? Why am I here? What is the purpose for me being here anyway? And if the church can come in and be honest with the truth, speak the truth in love, that can make such a big difference for a college student. A college student wants to know what's true. A college student deep down does not want phoniness, does not want political correctness, does not want generic answers to questions. It wants to know what's true. It wants something to hang their hat on. And the church, if it can just be honest and unashamed of the truth, it can make such a big difference in lives of people my age.
Do you think, Tim, that if they're faced with the truth Sunday after Sunday, that some of them will just turn their back and go their own way? Will we lose some that way?
We'll definitely lose some, and there will probably be others who will just sort of shrug their shoulders and say, well, I don't really know what to make of all of it. But the bottom line is, even though you may lose some or not move anybody away from sitting on the fence, the only way you're going to make true, authentic believers is by presenting the truth in that way. And that's the only way where people will really feel a stronger sense of their place in the world and the significance of their life, is when they get those honest answers to the tough questions.
If I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that those who lead in these churches, laity or clergy alike, if they're trying to figure out, well, what does this college kid really want? Sort of a popularity appeal. And this is the way we're going to get them there. They're probably making a terrible mistake. Is that right?
That would be my impression. I think that the politically correct approach or the soft approach, I think that can work in the short term. I think that that can probably get people to come out for a while and they'll enjoy themselves and they'll meet new people. But in the long run, I firmly believe that people will see through any phoniness, if there is phoniness. And in the long run, to really make a difference in somebody's life, you better have some answers. Again, that's not true for everybody. I think there are some who would shy away, as we talked about earlier. But there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that the churches in the long run that are really going to make a difference in the lives of college kids are the ones that don't shy away from calling a spade, that don't shy away from providing tough answers to tough questions.
That's pretty much the way Jesus worked, too, when you read through the New Testament, the Gospels. He wasn't shying away from anybody, was he?
No.
Leaving it pretty much there, but he always came back with an answer, and that answer was always given to them in love. And it's that spirit of love that reaches out and touches the hearts of young people and older people as well. I think maybe you've alluded to some of these things, but let me ask you once more. It doesn't hurt to be repetitious. What is it that college kids are really looking for deep down? I mean, deep down. Are they those who are going to be with us for a long period of time? What are they looking for?
A lot of times you read newspaper articles or magazine articles or see things on TV, hear them on the radio, wherever it may be, where they describe different characteristics and traits that members of a certain generation may have. And the generation that I'm in, you know, the people who are 18, 20, 22, maybe even into their late 20s, I'm not sure how the ages would divide exactly. But one thing that I hear over and over again is that the problem with the youth and the young adults today is that they lack purpose. They lack hope. They're wandering around aimlessly because they don't have a purpose. They lack mission. They lack a strong sense of themselves. And if that's the case, then what a college kid really is looking for, what a college kid really needs deep down inside, whether or not he or she knows it, is answers and purpose. And to me, the answers that really make a difference in your life for eternity, well, it's not just I think, I know this is true, they have to come from the Christian faith. And to me, that's what college kids are really looking for. They're looking for answers, because we walk around and it's so easy to ask ourselves, well, why are we here? What's the purpose for all that's going on around us? What can I hang my hat on? And if, again, this is very repetitious, but if a church will just step forward and authoritatively proclaim the answers to those tough questions, where did I come from? Why am I here? Where will I spend eternity? What's the purpose of my life? Then lives will be changed.
Interesting. Or, you know, you never had me as a confirmation teacher. I'll bet you're glad for that. But I always used to say to the kids, and not always, but as I got to be older, you know, and I got into that 60 age bracket, 60, 65, I'd say to the kids, and they were 14, 15 years of age, man, you and I have got an awful lot in common. I think I understand you, and I hope you understand me. You are young people with a whole world ahead of you, and you're pretty much self-centered. What's good for me? So forth and so on. When you get to be 60, 65, the world is beginning to be in behind you, and you're beginning to think about eternity and how am I going to spend these last years if God gives them to me and all these things. And again, we become, in older age, we become quite self-centered again. Are college students too self-centered or too selfish to consider faith?
I think there again, you'd have to divide that question sort of into two categories, the short run and the long run. I think in the short run, yeah, I think there's a lot of selfishness from people my age, just as there is from any generation. There are a lot of people who do believe that life is about themselves and there's no purpose beyond themselves and their own happiness. But I think in the long run, I think it's Pascal who said that within every human being, there lies a vacuum, a God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. And in the long run, I think that even the most selfish of people on the surface, spiritually, deep down in their hearts, know that there just has to be more to it than themselves. They may not be able to put their finger exactly on what it is, but something within even the most selfish of us is crying out for answers, crying out because deep down they know that there has to be more to this life than just our own happiness. And so I don't think in the end that college students or any group of people for that matter are too selfish to consider faith. Because I think even the people who on the surface appear to be self-centered to the nth degree and beyond help, I think those people deep down have the same yearnings and longings as the rest of us do, wanting to know what to make of it all and what the meaning of life really is.
Okay, Tim, now let's really get specific because we want to leave a good, clear message for the people who are listening. Down deep in your heart, what should the church's message to college students be? You just briefly answer that, then I'll ask you another question. What should the message be?
The message to me is sometimes a set of truths that it's difficult for people to accept. So it's tough from one standpoint, but simple from another, because it really is just pure and simple, and it makes perfect sense. And it all starts with God. God created us, precious and important. He created us good in His image. But from the time of the fall in the Garden of Eden, when the first sin took place, we've all been born into the sinful nature. It's not just that we do bad things, but from the minute that we're born, we have that sinful nature. And God, being perfect, as only He is perfect, cannot exist side by side with the evil and the sin in our world. And there has to be a bridge between us and God. And the bridge that God provided for us is Christ. Christ died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead. And if we will just accept that message, believe it in our hearts, and trust it and accept it in faith, then we will spend eternity with God in heaven. And that, to me, is as simple as it gets. God created us, we're sinners, but Christ has provided a sacrifice for us, Himself. And if we will just accept that in faith, if we respond to that in faith, then we are saved. We will spend eternity in heaven with God.
That's a pure old gospel, right? No question about that. And that's a message that needs to be proclaimed no matter what age we are. May I ask, Tim, it's a privilege to proclaim this gospel, and it's been my privilege through all these years. Are there any of your close friends who are considering the ministry?
I think the answer to that question would be based on how you define the ministry. I don't know that any of my close friends are, I don't know how strongly any of them are considering, say, being a pastor or being a preacher or something along those lines. But I do have several close friends who, in a deeper sense, are already in the ministry. And they're in the ministry from the sense that they are striving to serve God in their lives already. And whatever they choose for their career, no matter what it is, could be anything, absolutely anything, that can still be their own ministry. They can still bring glory to God in other ways besides being just a pastor or just a preacher. And I think in that sense, many of my close friends are considering the ministry. And not just considering it, they're already in it because they already see the purpose of their lives as bringing glory to God and being the salt and light of the earth.
Can you give me your opinion of what the church of tomorrow will be like in the light of what you see among people of your age today?
As difficult as it is to generalize what the entire church will be like, I can divide it, and it's never just this simple, of course. But for purposes of today, I just would divide it into two separate types of churches. Those churches that are on a mission to proclaim the truth, and those who aren't. And that will depend a great deal on who is in what church and what type of revival there is, what type of awakening there is. But it seems to me that the church is probably going in two separate directions. You have part of the church that is not speaking that unvarnished truth as effectively as they can. And they're shying away from teaching Christ as the only way, or teaching that, yeah, even a loving God would allow people to go to hell. But then there are other churches that are proclaiming those truths, and they are on a mission to communicate those things, communicate the gospel that we talked about earlier as effectively as we can. So as far as I can tell, I see the church going in that same two directions. One church going in the direction of watered down, compromised blah, I don't know what you call it, and the other clinging to the biblical truth and reaching out to people with that truth. And to me, there's no question which side of the aisle I'd rather be on. If you're on the compromise side, then you're just wasting people's time. If you're on the truth side, then you can make more of a difference in people's lives, both on earth and in eternity, than anyone else can.
Thank you very much, Tim, for this time you have shared with us. Our prayers go with you and your peers, and we believe with all of our heart that God will use you in a mighty way.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message bring you peace, joy, and strength for the days to come. Some of our donors choose to honor someone special in their lives with an honorarium gift. The occasion may be an anniversary, a birthday, or other special day. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. Pastor Larson writes the feature article for each issue. To receive this newsletter free of charge, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in its 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcast.